Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The past few years have brought rapid growth in small-scale solar power in Michigan, and that growth has been helped by net metering. You put panels on your roof or in your yard, you save money because you're buying less electricity. And if you generate more electricity than you use, you sell it back to the utility. That's net metering. And that practice is generating a debate. How much should those solar customers be compensated for the energy they generate? A bill sponsored by Michigan Senator John Prose would cut the compensation. Under SB 438, utilities would buy excess rooftop solar power at wholesale rates and then require net metering customers to buy power off the grid at retail rates. The bill is being taken up today by the Senate Committee on Energy and Technology. State Senator John Prose is here with us now. Senator, why is this bill necessary?
Well, it's necessary when we look at the actions of the federal government most recently, and we have to take into account some of the concerns that we as a state have as it relates to reliability, meaning when we flip the switch, do our lights turn on? And it also relates very directly to affordability, because all of us demand that we have reliable power, that it be there, but that it be affordable in the process, too. So Senator Mike Nofs, the chairman of the Energy and Technology Committee, I serve as vice chairman of that committee, have coordinated our efforts together in a bipartisan way to bring Republicans and Democrats together to answer the question of how we're going to manage our own energy resources going forward. Senator Nofs' bill deals much more with the production and the utility side of the equation. That's Senate Bill 437. And then, of course, in Senate Bill 438, the one that you're referencing and the reason that we're talking today, that bill is tie-barred together with 437, which basically means that the both of them work hand in glove to update Michigan's energy policy, keeping in mind that reliability, affordability, and the use of new technologies that are oftentimes green technologies are at the forefront of what we're doing in the future. And we're trying to find that right landing spot, that right mix, to ensure that we are addressing all of those things in these two bills as we try to manage our own destiny, since the federal government is certainly giving us plenty of mandated requirements to take coal offline. And so how can we put that right balance together to increase Michigan control over its own destiny?
Well, looking at more closely at this issue with net metering, and
yes,
and critics, many of them in the solar industry in Michigan, are saying, in essence, this would be like you grow your own vegetables, you sell them to the grocery store at wholesale prices, but you'd have to buy the vegetables back at retail prices. Is that a fair analogy?
I don't think it's a fair analogy at all. I think what we're trying to do is recognize that there's a certain cost of participation on the grid. While you may benefit the grid at a certain point in time because of the investment, oftentimes tens of thousands of dollars that an individual has invested in, say, rooftop solar, that while you may want to sell that back to the grocery store, you still have to use the roadway to transport your product to sell at the grocery store. And that roadway is otherwise known for us in Michigan as the grid. Are we ensuring that the grid is maintained so that all other users can participate in the reliability that we demand? And so we look at this and say, how can we equitably and fairly land in a public policy position that ensures that the grid is taken care of while you still can produce your own rooftop solar energy for yourself?
You know, as we speak, this is the week that the Brookings Institution just released a report looking at solar and at net metering and the factors you cite and how net metering is impacting states all across the country. And it notes regulators in at least 10 states commission independent studies to kind of really figure out the actual cost and benefits to net metering. Has the Michigan Public Service Commission conducted its own independent study, to your knowledge?
To date, the Michigan Public Service Commission has not been instructed to do so. That's certainly one of the discussions that, in fact, we will have very shortly, yet today even, as we speak about the S2 substitutes that are before us, which basically means that we've rewritten the bill once already since its introduction a year ago. We've had literally hundreds, quite literally thousands of hours of testimony and discussion, both behind closed doors and in public forums. Anybody and everybody who's had something to say about this particular bill and Senate Bill 437, they've all had a hearing. They've all had the ability to speak about it. And you're right. Many have said, let's let the commission do a rate case, if you will, identify just exactly what the value is. I think where we are is looking at the grid and its reliability, making sure that it stays as robust and as secure as possible, because all of us demand that we have that power available. So the question that we ask then is, what is reasonable to ensure that everybody pays their fair share? And you might recall the 2008 Energy Act that passed in the state of Michigan really sought to achieve cost of service. And what that means is, if it costs a certain value for you to utilize energy, then you should pay only what it costs for you to utilize it, meaning what are the operations and maintenance and distribution costs, right? Mm. So you shouldn't have to pay for somebody else's rates, just like businesses and industries shouldn't pay for yours. They should pay what their fair share is for what it costs to actually utilize that energy. So we want to make sure that everybody's actually paying their fair share in the process, and recognize that those new technologies, like rooftop solar, have a place in today's technology mix. You should be able to utilize that, and we agree that that should remain the case. We're trying to find the right public policy that also ensures that we don't have individual folks who are becoming energy producers to the point that we lose reliability and the effectiveness of the grid. So that's really where this balance is, and where a lot of the friction exists when we try to find the public policy solution that's best for all concerned.
I know you said there were, you know, thousands of pages of testimony, but before that, when you were pulling this bill together initially, where did you get the information that you used to base this proposed bill on? What sources?
So the original bill of introduction was looking at other states and other states who have unrolled their original net metering language. You know, in the 2008 Act, the net metering language was designed to give a kickstart to green technologies like solar and wind, and those who wanted to do independent power producing, quite frankly, because as a rooftop solar operator, you become an independent producer of your own electricity that you utilize for your own benefit, and then you want to sell that back to the grid. But what's happening is that as those technologies become more cost competitive, it also becomes a more of a regulatory concern as we try to make sure that we have the things that we've talked about today, Cynthia, with affordability and reliability, and a maintenance of the grid that is our freeway system that transports our products back and forth. So that was the bill of introduction. We looked at other states and said, hey, how are we going to manage this issue? We made changes, significant changes, I might add, with the S2 that was introduced a couple of weeks ago. There's been significant, about a month ago, there's been significant debate and discussion on the S2 substitute, and I'd expect, without breaking any news today, that you'll see even more significant changes in the S3 substitute in just the next hour.
Senator, I just want to shift gears a little bit over to something that really underlies all of these efforts to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels and look for viable alternative energy resources, and that is the larger issue of climate change. And as we've seen, the Republican Party has largely adopted the position that questions whether climate change is caused by human actions. And I'm just wondering, what is your take on that? How do you view the role of human actions on global warming and climate change?
Well, I don't think there's a doubt that human actions have an impact on the climate, just as human actions have had an impact forever, for as long as we've been participants on this earth of ours. And we all have a responsibility to ensure that the climate is as clean as possible, recognizing, too, that we have put ourselves in a position that these new technologies should have a chance to succeed. And we really go to great pains in working with the Public Service Commission in 437 and 438 to ensure, Cynthia, that in fact, the least expensive fuel gets the benefit.
State Senator John Pierce, thank you so much for speaking with us today on Stateside. Great to have you.
Great to be here. Thank you very much, Cynthia.
Last year, the California-based company Solar City was ranked the top solar residential contractor in the nation. That was according to Solar Power World. Will Craven is its director of communications. Will, we just spoke with Republican Senator John Prose. Can you tell us about your thoughts on his bill and how it would affect the solar industry in Michigan?
It would keep thousands of jobs out of Michigan. What Americans have found, as different states have gotten access to rooftop solar, and I would say Michigan is not yet one of those, but what 20 states and more that Solar City serve, what they have found is that when you finally get the choice to have an alternative to utility power, people love that choice. You do not see a thriving rooftop solar industry anywhere where there is not net metering. It is one of the bedrock policies. And Michigan really has a choice to make if it wants to create the sort of thriving job-creating rooftop solar industry that other states are enjoying now. It should keep net metering in place.
Now, supporters of Senator Pruce's bill say it'll improve access to renewable energy. And also, they make an argument that solar users aren't paying their fair share to maintain the grid, and everyday ratepayers are subsidizing them. How do you answer those arguments?
When someone goes solar, they're simply reducing the amount of utility power they're consuming. You cannot say that someone just deciding to use less utility power means that they suddenly owe the utility money for what they're not purchasing any longer. Going solar is no different than using a certain light less or unplugging an appliance. You are simply reducing your consumption of utility power, and anyone should be able to do that, including solar customers, who are actually doing a good thing for their community and for the planet, and as well as for the finances of their family.
Now, we're seeing rule changes and legislation pushes all over the country involving solar power, and one of the big battles taking place is in the very sunny state of Nevada. And you think this could be a sign of things to come if Michigan's bill is passed. What's happened in Nevada?
Nevada was an amazing story, in which for the first time people finally got the choice to go solar. They went solar in droves. Nevada quickly became the state with the most solar jobs per capita in the nation. And then the Public Utilities Commission made a grave mistake. They reduced the net metering value, they decimated the industry, and they ended the people's ability to go solar. So it was an incredibly positive story before it became a tragic one. And we think there's a future for solar in Nevada again. But I think the lesson there for Michigan is that you really want to keep the right policies in place so that you can give people consumer choice, you can give them the option to go solar, and you can create thousands of jobs while doing it.
Will Craven is Director of Communications for Solar City. Will, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Up next, the mystery behind the Kalamazoo Gals, the women who built Gibson guitars during World War II. That mystery lives on. Stay with us. This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. We'll be right back.